The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine and BlackEnterprise.com. The first article is titled, Breaking Barriers in Business, How a Black Woman Raised $230 million and built a billion-dollar company by defying seven common myths. I needed investors who understood this unique challenge and were willing to provide capital and support without demanding board seats. This approach allowed me to innovate and carve out a new path in an industry with rules not originally designed for someone like me. These investors believed in my ability to navigate uncharted territory and transform challenges into opportunities. At one point, I considered adding a board member following a series raise at a valuation of $225 million, but one of our largest investors advised against it. She emphasized that the company's success stemmed from its flexibility and lack of board interference. She recommended waiting until the right member could truly add value. When we later raised funds at a $450 million valuation, I knew exactly who to add to the board, and their contribution has been invaluable. This strategic approach to investor relations and board composition was crucial, allowing Uncle Nearest freedom and flexibility to grow and succeed on its own unique terms. Myth number five, successful fundraising is impossible without being in the room. One common misconception is that raising capital necessitates access to elite networking spaces or the rooms where high-level business deals are made. In my journey with Uncle Nearest, I found this to be untrue. Initially, I wasn't invited to these exclusive circles, often reserved for those who have already achieved significant success. However, while these spaces might offer networking advantages, they are not essential for successful fundraising. In fact, I've never actively networked for fundraising purposes in any of those rooms. The few investments that have come from there have had to chase me down, as I respect the purpose of those gatherings. Your success will hinge more on determination, a strong vision, and the ability to seize opportunity wherever they may arise. Remember, the person next to you in the Starbucks line could be one of the nearly 23 million millionaires in this country, many of whom are actively seeking to grow their portfolios. Don't wait for an invitation into their room. You don't need one. Myth six, the only way to raise money is to give up equity. There are two types of capital raises, debt and equity. While some entrepreneurs have been successful in securing debt in lieu of an equity raise, that was not my experience. So I will share only what I have personally experienced. Throughout the series of fundraising cycles, my goal was to give up as little equity in each round as possible. The reason is that if you are doing your job and growing your valuation exponentially, then the $5 million you raise in a Series A, for instance, will cost you a lot more in equity than it might in a later round. Our Series A round was sold for $1.50 per share, So if I'd raised $5 million at that time, it would have required me to sell 25% of the equity in my company. However, my Series E was sold for $29.14 per share. So that same $5 million raised only cost me 0.057% of equity. One of the greatest mistakes founders make is taking as much money as possible up front. This approach dilutes shares too early and makes it more challenging to maintain control. I understand the reason many do this is to avoid any financial challenges, but if you have a fast-growing business, you are likely to encounter tight financial squeezes throughout the first decade, no matter what. I've never met a successful entrepreneur who didn't experience this. The difference is those who took in too much money early and lost control of the company now have to contend not only with financial constraints, but also with the daily frustration of sacrificing for a business they don't feel as though they fully own. Based on the many people I've spoken with on this issue, if they could do it again, they'd wait a little longer to take in more money, and they would only take in good money, as not all money is beneficial. Good money, in my books, only comes from investors aligned with your core values and excited to support you as you build, even if it takes longer than originally planned. Since 2016, I've raised more than $230 million for Uncle Nearest, including $133 million in debt capital, supported entirely by appreciating real estate and inventory. We've already repaid nearly $50 million of the debt capital, underscoring our commitment to sound financial management. If debt is an option and you can comfortably service the debt, I would recommend this path over an equity raise in most circumstances. Myth number 7. Women and people of color are minorities with limited impact. A common misconception is that women and people of color are minorities with limited influence in the United States. In reality, we collectively constitute more than 70% of the country's population, a figure that is steadily increasing each year. Our collective buying power is formidable and can significantly contribute to the success of any business that recognizes and taps into this reality. Uncle Nearest growth has been catalyzed by acknowledging and leveraging this substantial influence and economic power, debunking the myth. In 2024, my hope is to see a significant increase in the number of successful businesses led by Black entrepreneurs, women, and people of color overall. Increased access to capital is essential for this vision to become a reality. This article aims to spark meaningful conversations within those communities. Although I believe every entrepreneur can benefit from this article. For Black Americans, reflecting on our heritage is profoundly significant. We are descendants of the strongest among the strong, resilient mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It is estimated that only 388,000 survived the harrowing journey from Africa to America. As a descendant of these survivors, their strength and endurance continually inspire me. This is why I am sharing my blueprint for raising capital in real time, rather than waiting to recount these lessons in a future biography. My aim is to provide immediate guidance and support to my community of women and people of color, helping to level the playing field in a patriarchal country still surviving to perfect its union. Committed to pulling others up as I climb, I am driven by the legacy of resilience and strength inherited from our ancestors. By challenging these myths, we are paving the way for our own success and illuminating the path the future generations of entrepreneurs in our community, contributing to a more equitable and just business landscape. The next article is titled Essence Contributors. Shiona Torini. Over the course of a decade-long career, this consultant, stylist, and costume designer has solidified her place as a leading expert with brands, personalities, and publishers. Her work spans the medical landscape, including film, TV, and music. Torini served as stylist for our cover star's Formation music video, as well as last summer's epic Renaissance tour. So it was a reunion of sorts on the set of Beyoncé, The Boss. Her clients are among the who's who of beauty, fashion, and entertainment, including Christian Dior, Elle, HBO, Oscar Laventer, Nike, Stewart, and The New York Times. Jamila Nasheed, a journalist and op-ed columnist covering culture, news, and politics. Nasheed has published in such outlets as Teen Vogue, The Cut, Elle, and Self Magazine. Passionate about storytelling, she has interviewed entertainers and politicians such as Misty Copeland and Stacey Abrams. This month, she tackles the timely subject of environmental racism in Power from the Pulpit. Meta Noah Z. Webb. This award-winning writer is an Essence alum who assisted Editor-in-Chief Emeritus Susan L. Taylor back in 2006, and more recently served as Lifestyle Director. When she's not scaling transformative content for well-known brands, you can find her cliff jumping on an island with her 7-year-old son, Journey. She has visited over 60 countries and has lived in London, Costa Rica, Belize, and Brooklyn. She now calls Nashville home. Webb profiles an interior botanical designer and self-described plant queen for sacred spaces. The next article is titled Editor's Letter. When I think about what is beautiful and what shaped my earliest ideas of beauty, I think immediately of Black women, the ones in my family who showed up to the functions with the flyest hairstyles, with outfits styled to perfection, nails a work of art, those with lips, eyes, cheeks, and skin adorned in hues that reflected the sun. When I think of beauty, I always think of Essence and how so many mothers, aunties, nanas, and cousins whose styles I wanted to emulate were reflected with these beloved pages. This is why I feel so honored to present our 2024 beauty issue. Essence has a legacy of showcasing the beauty of our community, even when the rest of the world chose not to see us. Our fashion, our hair, our makeup, trends, and our style have always been celebrated here, and I am so proud to be a part of continuing that mission as we head into the revitalizing energy of spring. We are ensuring that our readers will be prepped and ready with their beauty and wellness regimens intact. Best in beauty, spotlights more than 80 products to help make certain your skin, hair, body, and more are cared for, and that they reflect your inner balance and outward shine. Our hair has long been a means of our expression and a source of our power. Consider what a renaissance represents, a cultural transformation, which is what Black women, through their hair, style, and grace, have been doing over centuries. With that in mind, we are excited to have our cover star, Beyoncé Knowles Carter, speak about her new venture into the world of hair. She's joined by her elegant mother, Tina Knowles, who was her first model of beauty. In Beyoncé, The Boss, we learn about her source of beauty inspiration, her new initiative, and why all curl types should be represented and served. On the subject of our hair, I am excited to see the newest installment of our series, 4C Files, which highlights one woman's choice to embrace going gray. Also in this issue, In the Studio details the gorgeous crochet styles of designer Nia Thomas. Sacred Spaces brings us into the lush and vibrant home of Christopher Griffin, aka the Plant Queen, and Our Girls United resume rundown features the impressive Jamaica Martin, founder of Rosen Skincare. As Essence continues its mission to celebrate Black beauty in every shade, texture, and style, I would like you to notice another change we've made on this very cover, a return to our Legacy Essence logo. This creative shift represents our deep commitment to our history and a renewed dedication to the future as we continue to tell transformational stories that matter most to our community. To me, that is beautiful. The next article is titled Future Nostalgia. As we sought to answer the question, what's next in our visual identity, we found ourselves looking to the past. This issue's release date marks my 2-year anniversary with Essence. When I began, I was confident that this moment, the next chapter in Essence's legacy, would happen much sooner. I admit I was naive in believing that I knew exactly what this cultural institution truly needed to move into its next phase before I'd even gotten through the door, settle in, and listen to its walls. As a former fashion editor, I can relate it to the feeling you get when an old trend, let's say 90s hip-hop fashion, makes a resurgence in pop culture. And because you've lived through it, you know exactly what size to look for in a vintage Vanson jacket. But you quickly realize that the trend now has a new figure leading the charge. They are 30 years your junior, and they actually want to wear their leather jacket 3 sizes too big because proportions matter. Your old ways will always be reinvented to become something new, even to you. Now it's time we turn the page by introducing the new chapter of our visual identity. We've coined it Future Nostalgia to describe the merger of our heritage ethos with a modern-day design direction. When considering where we wanted to go with this creative refresh, not to be mistaken for a rebrand, we first needed to look at our current state of efficacy. I loved what came from our cover shoots when I leafed through archived issues in search of inspiration. There was also a positive sentiment around our approach to original photography. in the Spirit of Essence's first ever editorial director, Gordon Parks, that visual direction bright-eyed with wide smiles of black joy on full display has been a constant guiding light. Additionally, as you can see by the cover of this issue you're holding, we have a deep fondness for the original Essence logo. We call it the Legacy logo. It's not a new logo, but it's not necessarily old either. It's legacy. It symbolizes our all-up intent behind this refresh, ensuring that Essence remains the destination for Black creativity to thrive and is the visual source for our culture as we look to the future, while holding close the pieces of our history that keep us powerful and honest. To help us reinforce that commitment to Black creativity, we are excited to have arguably the most talented Black creative in the world grace this cover. I'm equally grateful to have photographer Andre D. Wagner's lens on Beyonce Knowles Carter and her mother, Miss Tina, for our cover story, which speaks to the legacy of Black hair. I've been a fan of Wagner's work for some time, watching his star rise. As a 2022 Gordon Parks Foundation Fellow, Wagner is, of course, similar in spirit in his work. To have him be a part of this issue reinforces our intent to uplift the history of the brand. Not every photographer can capture a feeling, but Wagner does it effortlessly, and I am eternally thankful. I'd like to highlight some other updates that you'll see in this issue. We've introduced a new set of fonts, Rizoma and Clarendon. There are also updated layouts that highlight the original art commissioned by the many creatives involved in this book. A special shout out to our design studio, the real MVPs of this entire refresh. Without their collective vision and input, this new visual identity and the thoughtfulness behind it would not be. Thank you, team. Now it's time to get back to work. The updates to the print magazine are just phase one of this refresh. Catch you on the internet for what's next, and be reminded what is old will always become new again. With love, Corey Stokes, SVP Creative. The next article is titled Best in Beauty. Spring cleaning means refreshing our beauty routines too. Essence picks the top products to help you shine this season. Celebrity-owned brands. How Taraji P. Henson refreshes her curls. Master Cleanse is a TPH by Taraji fan favorite. I call this my secret sauce. I love how refreshing this product is for my scalp with ingredients like witch hazel, water, eucalyptus, and tea tree oil. The Tri-Touch applicator gets into all the places my fingers can't reach when I'm catering to my hair on my favorite day, Scalp Care Sunday. The Keep It Fresh Wig and Curl Refresher Spray brings my hair, wigs, and weaves back to life in between wash days while I'm traveling or in rehearsals. It's the perfect pick-me-up to give my hair a quick boost. A must-do in the springtime. I typically like to get a trim during the spring to embrace the fresh start. I care for the new cut with the long run bonding and strengthening pre-treatment that cleanse with the So Lengthy shampoo and condition with the new Leavelle's conditioner, which is infused with biotin and Jamaican black castor oil. brands that give back. In a world where there is so much turmoil, it's beautiful to see companies using their platform for good by giving back to underserved communities and to those recovering from illness. Here are 8 inspirational ones. LYS Beauty. LYS Beauty donated 100% of the net proceeds from sales of its Secure Brow Eyebrow Pencil during Breast Cancer Awareness Month to the Pink Agenda, a nonprofit whose mission is to raise money for breast cancer research and care while increasing awareness of the disease among young professionals. Estee Lauder Companies. Over the years, the Estee Lauder Company's breast cancer campaign has contributed more than $103 million via the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Huda Beauty. The brand pledged to donate $1 million to Doctors Without Borders and Human Appeal to help people in Gaza receive medical care. Cheekbone Beauty. Their scholarship fund provides indigenous students with money to attend a college or university in the U.S. or Canada. Coco Kind. Their Impact Foundation has offered a financial grant to a female wellness, social impact, or sustainability entrepreneur. Glossier. The Glossier Grant Program gives finances to budding Black beauty brands to help close inequity gaps within the industry. Hannah Hannah Beauty. The Hannah Hannah Circle of Care raises funds to improve infrastructure and clean water storage in Ghana and more. Dove. Last year, the brand released its Code My Crown initiative with the open source Afro Hair Library to create a book of codes that help gamers diversify their gaming experience. The next article is titled Beauty is Their Name. These 8 ladies remind us that Black women in beauty are taking over the industry. As a young girl, I used to think I was pretty only when I straightened my naturally curly hair. When I grew up, I was devastated to learn that my story is similar to many other Black women who, like me, were socialized to aspire to Eurocentric standards of beauty. As the often quoted Marion Wright Eldman said, you can't be what you can't see. Indeed, there has been a dearth of representation, and the numbers prove it. For example, only 8 Black women have taken home the Miss America crown since the inception of the competition in 1921. And for Miss USA, there have been only 12 Black women winners since the first coronation in 1950. Meanwhile, 10 Black women have won an Academy Award since the first was handed out in 1929, and 36 have been Emmy winners since the first show in 1949. A 2022 McKinsey & Company study. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.